This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are going to spend some time in Toronto now because the big news on Tuesday night broke during our show all Wednesday. Kawhi Leonard heading to the San Antonio Spurs along with Danny Green in exchange for All-Star guard DeMar DeRozan. And it's been an uproar from Toronto fans. I haven't really heard anything from San Antonio Spurs fans. Not much anyway. So Twitter, Facebook, you're welcome to weigh in. But we want to spend some time with Eric Smith, who is the radio play-by-play voice of the Raptors. You'll also catch him on the TV sidelines here and there. And Eric, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Over the last 24 hours, it's been about 24 hours now, we find out this big news, DeMar DeRozan, he's a staple. What's been the reaction from those Toronto fans and other employees that you've crossed paths with?
I'll say that, within the organization, there's no doubt that DeMar is going to be missed as much on the floor as he will be off it. And it's something that I even mentioned a couple of times on the radio today on some other shows and on TV and even some social media posts. I have absolutely nothing bad to say about DeMar DeRozan, the person, let alone the player, but he is as good a man that I've come across in professional sports and in working in sports media for over 20 years. He's a stand-up individual, unbelievable to deal with on a personal level, one-on-one, in terms of if you want to talk about writers and broadcasters and the way that he dealt with the media, let alone the way that he dealt with fans and interacting with folks, stopping for autographs, whether it be at home or on the road, and active and involved in the community, and a guy that wore Toronto literally and figuratively on his chest, even more so than any other Raptor in franchise history. We can sit here and talk, Amy, about the greats that have played in Toronto, from Damon Stoudemire to Tracy McGrady to, of course, Vince Carter and Chris Bosh and DeMar DeRozan. If he isn't at the top of the list, he's sharing the mantle with Vince Carter in terms of not just greatest player of all time, but when you factor in who he was or who he is as a person and the way that he represented this city and this country, he's going to be missed big time. And I think that's why reaction today has been mixed in the sense that most people, most fans, are recognizing that assuming Kawhi Leonard is 100% healthy and assuming that he's coming to the Raptors and hopefully ready to play at least 82 games, and who knows beyond that, what happens at this time next year and what conversation would happen at this time next year. I think most people are recognizing that Kawhi Leonard is a hell of a talent and the Raptors had to take this chance. It's just unfortunate that it came at the cost of DeRozan, because he is no doubt a fan favorite and a guy that is going to be in a lot of Raptors' hearts and minds for years to come, and folks already talking about whether his number 10 jersey might hang for the Raptors in Toronto one day.
Mm. How much of this do you think was about making some kind of a change to send a jolt through the franchise, maybe through the locker room too? But we already saw Dwayne Casey get fired, and now trading away one of the franchise players. But after the way the playoffs ended the last 2 years, I wondered if something like this would happen.
Yeah, you know what? I want to be careful. I say this because I want to make sure that I'm not sounding like I'm laying this at the feet of DeRozan solely. Because I'm the type of guy in me that will slice up the pie and say, "Hey, DeMar DeRozan's got to take a slice," and so does Kyle Lowry, and so did Dwayne Casey, and so did every player on the team. And that's not to sound cliche, but I don't think you can lay, and not to imply that you were, but I don't think you can lay the fault of what went wrong with the Raptors the last number of years in the postseason solely at the feet of DeRozan or Art Lowry, or the two of them together.
Right.
That said, this is a team that has been one of the more consistent teams in the entire NBA, let alone the Eastern Conference, over the last 4 or 5 years. This is also a team that has run into a generational player, arguably a top three, top five, some might say top two all-time in LeBron James specifically, and he / the Cavs have ousted the Raptors in 3 straight years. I think, though, that if you step back and look at the core of the team, and of course the core primarily being the 1-2 punch of Lowry and DeRozan, and you can add, you know, a Valanciunas, or at least over the last couple of years, and Ibaka to the mix, let alone Dwayne Casey as the head coach up until just a couple of months ago. There is something to be said, or I can at least see the school of thought that, have you gone far enough or as far as you can go with this core, and is it time to try something new? And with no disrespect intended to DeMar DeRozan, who is coming off all NBA honors in terms of second team, multi-time All-Star, even over the last couple of seasons, the guy that was probably in the top 10 in terms of MVP ladder and rankings, et cetera, a top, 20, 25 at least player in the NBA overall, he's a hell of a talent. But when you stack him up against Kawhi Leonard, again, putting the caveat of when healthy, we're talking about a top 3 to 5 player in the league in Kawhi Leonard. A guy that, with no disrespect to DeMar, is a better defensive player than DeRozan, a better three-point shooter than DeRozan. The Raptors would not have an opportunity, I believe, in unrestricted free agency to lure and to sign a player of Kawhi Leonard's caliber and talent. So the best way to get a player like that is via trade. And of course, you know, we always forget in making a trade for a top talent, you got to give something to get something. And in a roundabout way, it's hard to see this, I'm sure, especially if you're DeMar DeRozan, it's almost a compliment that you're the one being put in this deal for Kawhi Leonard, in the sense that, you know, the other team is seeing something in you. You know, they didn't necessarily ask for it. Maybe they did, or they saw more value in you over Kyle Lowry. They wanted you back in return. They wanted your all-star resume. They wanted you to plug into their team alongside, LaMarcus Aldridge and DeJounte Murray and the rest. That's the guy that they wanted. So that's the other side of the coin here. You had to give up talent to get talent. And I think for the Raptors, recognizing that the window might be closing a little bit when you factor in Lowry's contract status, Ibaka's contract status, even Valanciunas for that matter, being able to hold on to young pieces and keeping OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam, and having Fred VanVleet sign a new contract, and still having DeLon Wright. There's reason to believe that, all right, we've got the future hopefully taken care of with some good young pieces, but the window on the current core closing. So can we take the swing for the fence and acquire an MVP-caliber player in Kawhi Leonard, arguably the best two-way player in the game in Kawhi Leonard, and can we make a bit of a deeper run with him than what we did with DeMar? And I think it's a chance, or a gamble, if you want to call it that, worth taking.
Eric Smith is the play-by-play voice of the Toronto Raptors. Sometimes you'll catch him on the TV sidelines as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What if it's only for 1 year? Then would your tune change, or would you feel differently about the trade?
You know what? Obviously, it's going to sting if Kawhi Leonard walks in a year. And the good thing is, you know, and I know the comparisons have been made, but I hate to sound cliche here or like the tired, broken record, but, if Oklahoma City can lure Paul George back to the Thunder when we all, or at least many of us, believe that Paul George was destined to go to Los Angeles as well as a California kid, and a guy who, you know, grew up with dreams and desires to put on that Laker jersey, much like Kawhi has talked about, then I have to have a faith, at least, that Toronto can do the same. Now, listen, I'm a Toronto guy, so I'll admit my bias, no doubt about it, and I don't want the hate mail or the or the tweets or the anger coming from Oklahoma City, but I'll stack my city, Toronto, up against Oklahoma City any day of the week in terms of the city, the country, the people, the diversity, everything about Toronto that Toronto has to offer, let alone the fan base, let alone on the floor, the basketball itself, and heck, for that matter, let's be real about it, the Eastern Conference. If you've got a chance to maybe have an arguably easier path in the East, not to knock what Boston will be, what Philadelphia will be alongside Toronto is, in my eyes, the three best teams, not to knock what Milwaukee or Washington or Detroit might be, et cetera, and other teams in the East. It's not like having to deal with Golden State or Houston or the Lakers, and the list goes on of the talented teams in the Western Conference. So I think you've got a lot of reasons to sell Kawhi. Now, to answer your question specifically, if you watch, will I still like the trade? DeMar DeRozan has 2 years left with the player option, but as I noted a moment ago, you've got Kyle Lowry entering into the final of 2 years. Serge Ibaka, assuming that these guys are all on the team come training camp, 2 years as well. So this, to me, was already a window that was somewhat closing, or a window in time that could be closing based on the core that you had. So you kind of fast-tracked that a little bit more in that you only have Kawhi potentially controllable for 1 year. But as I noted, to not give up your top two prospects, either of your top two prospects, in this trade, in OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam, and to still have those young pieces that I spoke about, in DeLon Wright and Fred VanVleet, and to not have mortgaged your future with multiple first-round picks going the other way as well, I still think that even if Kawhi were to walk next year, you would still look at this and say it was a gamble worth taking. The only possible way that this is complete egg on the face is if for some reason Kawhi doesn't report, and I really don't think that would be the case, or if it turns out that he is not healthy or turns out to only end up playing, 40 games, 20 games, whatever the heck it might be. That's the only way I think that this could be a negative, because I think you're at a moment in time, again, as an organization coming up to almost 25 years in the league, that if you got a chance to get a top three, top five talent, you have to take that opportunity. You have to take that chance. And I think at some point you got to roll the dice and then just trust that you'll be able to do the proper recruiting, and hope that as well that, we talk about the absolute worst case scenario, Amy. I suppose the bad cases, but better than worst case scenario, if that makes sense, is can you at least make a sign and trade, or could you at least maybe even trade him outright at the deadline if you're getting strong and true indications that he's not coming back? I don't think that's the intention. I think the intention is to have him, to keep him, and to want to re-sign him and hope that he'll be enticed by the 5 years and the $190 million versus the $140 and 4 years somewhere else. But I'm just saying your options are now open to a lot of different scenarios where the absolute worst is he walks for nothing. But I can't believe that Masai Ujiri would allow himself to be put in that position to have nothing showing for Kawhi Leonard 12 months from now.
Eric Smith of the Raptors Radio Network with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. How does Danny Green fit with the Raptors?
I'm glad you asked that, because nobody's really talked about it today. I think it's actually a hell of a, I don't even think it's fair to call it a throw-in. I think it's a hell of a move for Ujiri to be able to get Danny Green in this scenario.
He's a championship-winning starter.
Absolutely. And listen, we're not talking a 3-and-D guy like Kawhi Leonard, but a guy that can play, and he's a hell of a defensive player, among the best in the league, I think, defensively, and instantly comes to Toronto as arguably the best 3-point shooter. I mean, yeah, you've got a C.J. Miles and Kyle Lowry showing solid prowess over the last number of seasons from the perimeter, too, but Danny Green might instantly be the best 3-point shooter on this team. And when I start thinking, and listen, call me out if I've got my rose-colored glasses on right now, but when I think about, especially defensively, let alone the 3-point shooting of both Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, coming to a team with a gritty, solid, hard-nosed, defensive-minded guy as well in a Kyle Lowry who led the league in charges drawn last year and kind of plays that bulldog style, with a young player like OG Anunoby, who's now already making a name for himself as a growing defensive player and a guy who's shown some ability to stretch out too, and a Fred VanVleet with the edge that he plays with and whatnot. I think Toronto has got this kind of, I tell you, somebody said to me earlier, Amy, they've got the kind of team that might have been perfect for Dwayne Casey. When we think about Dwayne Casey and the defense that he loves to play, but that might actually fit well with a Nick Nurse as a rookie coach. He's going to have his hands full, no doubt. However, if you've got a core of guys that already have it ingrained in their style and in their psyche to play that defensive style, and then Nurse comes with his creative offensive schemes, this could be a nice little fit for Toronto. And you start thinking about the various combinations that the Raptors could put on the floor at various positions and the flexibility they have and the defense that they have. Again, call me the homer if I'm being a homer here. I think they've got a heck of a team, and they're better today than they were tomorrow. And I even thought, they're better today than they were yesterday. And yesterday I thought that they were still amongst the top three in the conference. They're absolutely there, coming off a 59-win season and adding Kawhi Leonard. I think there's a real chance for Toronto to have a special season ahead.
You can follow Eric on Twitter at Eric_Smith. That's a double underscore. And you can hear him on the Raptors Radio Network. Occasionally catch him on the TV sidelines.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.